Well, good morning. Good to see so many people out and about this morning. We're glad to have you with us. We're happy to be able to physically assemble. For those that are at home or elsewhere, we're happy that we live in times like this, that we have technology that allows us to virtually connect. And so we are glad to welcome those that may be visiting us and tuning into our live stream through our Facebook page. We are glad to have everyone with us this morning. This morning's lesson is entitled, Climbing Mountains, Slaying Giants. Who do you think we're going to be talking about? Don't look at Joshua 14:12, that's our text. But who would you think we're going to be talking about? Climbed a mountain and killed some giants. As you think about the answer to that question, or perhaps looking up Joshua 14:12 to cheat, I want to tell you, as Christians, we're told to be different. We're told to stand out from the crowd. We are to be that sore thumb that everyone looks at. We're to stand out from the crowd. We're to be light. Those in darkness are going to look at the light. That's what Jesus said the point of the light is. That it's not to be hidden. It's not to be put under a basket. It's to be put on a hill that it illuminates. Because remember, light illuminates and it exposes. Ephesians 5:11 tells us that as lights, we're to expose the evil deeds of darkness. Matthew 5:16 tells us, Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, he said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus said it's light is not to be hidden. It's to be seen. And he said, as you let your light shine before men, they're going to see your good works, and they will glorify God. And Romans 8:29-30 says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. So he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Jesus is the mold that was cast. And for us to follow after him, we have to mold our lives after him. He's the pattern. He's the mold. We have to, like something poured into a mold and takes on the shape, we're to take on the shape, the characteristics of Jesus. So God expects us to be conformed to his Son and not the world. And we see this in so many different passages. We just have time this morning to read these two. Matthew 5, it really starts back in 14-16 when he says we're salt and light. In Romans 12:2, he tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. 2 Corinthians 6:17, 1 Peter 1:14-16 tells us to be holy because God is holy. And so God has this expectation of his people. And in many of these places, he quotes from the Old Testament to where God said this of his own people, that they were to be holy because he is holy. They were to come out of their midst and be holy and be separate. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. God has always expected that of his people. And perhaps no better example that we can look at, and there are several, but one of the best examples that stands out in my mind as far as standing apart is, do you remember these names? I asked this question probably several months ago as we talked about the costly effects of defeatism and the costly effects of having a defeatist attitude. And so I asked this question before, do you remember these names? Shemua, Shaphat, Egal, Palti, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sether, Nahabi, and Geul. Anyone remember these names? They stand out? Well, what if we add in Joshua and Caleb? Now do we recognize those names if we didn't recognize them before? What about now? Yeah, we know those names now, don't we? Not for any great deed that they did, but for their cowardice. We know them for their unfaithfulness, for their disobedience to God, and their ungodly influence that influenced the multitude to want to stone Joshua and Caleb for standing back saying, let's go and take the land of Canaan. There were 10 spies, and they gave a bad report. They said there's giants in the land. There's fortified cities. We're like grasshoppers in our own sight. We can't do it. The land is everything that God said it was. Now remember that. They did say that. The land is everything that God said it was. His promises are true and sure, even if we don't want to see them. They said it's everything that God said it would be. But we're not powerful enough to do it. We don't have it in us to take the land. But two spies, Joshua and Caleb, they gave a good report. They said it truly is the land that God said it is, a land with flowing with milk and honey. Let's go up and take it. He's with us. We can take it. Let's go up and possess it right now. But as I stated, a great example of standing out from the crowd and being different is seen in the account of the 12 spies. 2 men said, let's take it. 10 men said, we can't do it. And those 10 men influenced an entire multitude. You can read this account in Numbers 13 to 14. And we find in 1 Corinthians 10, 11 and Romans 15, 4 that Old Testament accounts are there for our instruction. They're there for our encouragement and our hope in the Scriptures. And the encouragement and the hope that we get from this is that from 2 men, their faith was so strong that when God condemned the multitude, He said all the people, all the adults that came up out of Egypt, they're going to perish in the wilderness over a period of 40 years, except 2. 2 men, Joshua and Caleb, they will enter the land. And it'll be the children born to those that came out of Egypt that'll enter the land with them, and Joshua will lead them. A great example, standing out from the crowd and being different, is in the account of Joshua and Caleb. And yet those 10 men, those evil 10 men, that God took their lives right then and there, as an example of unfaithfulness and disobedience and the wrath of God on them. The multitude wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb to silence them because they kept saying, let's take it, let's go up and do it right now. So I want us to focus in on Caleb. He was from the tribe of Judah. Numbers 13:6 tells us this. He was chosen by Judah to be a spy into Canaan. He brought back a faithful report. Numbers 13:30. Caleb says, we will overcome. We can take it. He survived the wilderness. Only he and one other, Joshua, survived. You find that in Numbers 14:30 and verse 38. And he never forgot what he saw as a spy. Can you imagine, as they're watching their comrades die out in the desert, and they have to wait 40 years to go up and take and possess what they said, let's do it right now. Can you even imagine going in, and we find out later, I believe he says he was 45 or thereabouts. He was in his 40s. I'm almost 45. I'm almost at the age that Caleb must have been when he was chosen to go in as a spy. And he goes in and he sees this land, and now for 40 years, what do you think's on his mind? What do you think he's looking forward to? That land flowing with milk and honey. That land that is everything that God said it is. As everything that the desert is not. And as they're watching their comrades die off, they're counting down the days because God promised them they were going to live through that and that they would enter into that promised land. So they survived the wilderness. And as we're going to see, as we read some passages in Joshua, Caleb never forgot what he saw. And he was looking forward to that day. And he took action in the conquest at 85 years old. He's 85 years old before he gets the inheritance that he's been looking forward to for 40 years. He gets his inheritance that he's been promised. The years have meant nothing to him. In Joshua 14, 6 to 11, he talks about how he's just as strong now at 85 as he was then at 40. His eyes have not dimmed, his muscles have not diminished, and he's ready for the fight. He's ready for the task ahead of him. I want to put yourself in his position. Because we're going to see that he asks for the hardest task. But at 85 years old, I want you to think of the excuses, perhaps the reasoning that you and I might come up with not to do what he's about to do. We could say we're 85. It's too late. This would have worked when we were 45. But now we just want the plot of land. We want to send in our soldiers and just take the easiest plot of land that you'll give us. And we'll just take that piece of land. But not Caleb. He never forgot what he saw. And the stumbling block, what was the stumbling block to the 10 spies that they related then to the whole multitude? There were giants in the land. I want you to look in Joshua 14:12, and I'm reading from the New King James. Caleb is talking to Joshua, and he says, now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. What the two stumbling blocks? Oh, the land was plenty. They brought back. They came in carrying the evidence of the plentifulness of this land. But then the people said, there are some fortified cities. We don't have siege engines. We're not an army. We can't take those cities. And there's giants. Caleb says, I'm going to take this mountain. I'm going to take its fortified cities and I'm going to take out its giants. He says, give me the mountain. At 85 years old, he's saying, give me the task of charging up the high ground and taking this mountain full of giants. Think back at 85 years old, what you might want to do. Do you want to climb the mountain and kill the giants? Caleb never forgot what he saw. Caleb never forgot what it meant to be a spy, to go out and see the land that God promised him. So my admonition as we go through this lesson is to dare to be like Caleb. Caleb put his faith into action when he asked for the mountain to take on the giants. And one of the reasons that he did that is the first thing I want us to look at is Caleb had a different spirit. In Numbers 14, verse 24, God says of Caleb, "But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it." This is God promising that those who brought back the bad report, they're going to die, and he does kill them before the whole multitude. And he says the multitude, because they agreed with the 10 spies, they're going to die out in the land, in the wilderness. They will never see the promised land. But he says of Joshua and Caleb, they will enter it. And here he talks about Caleb specifically. And he calls him my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and he has followed me fully. You know, you and I need to have a different spirit from the rest of the world. As we let our light shine, as we are acting as the salt, we have to have a different spirit. We have to be able to, like Caleb, follow God with our whole heart. His actions were approved by God. He calls him his servant. And note the contrast of spirits here. Caleb was positive and was willing to act on his faith. You go back to Numbers 13, 27 to 30, and see when Caleb jumps into action to contradict the 10 spies and tells them, yeah, we saw the same thing those 10 spies saw, but we can do it. We will overcome. And the 10, well, they were negative, and they acted on fear and unbelief in verses 32 to 33 of Numbers 13. And Caleb, he saw all that they saw. He said, we're able, Numbers 13, 30. The 10, gripped by doubt and fear, says in verse 31, no, we're not able. Caleb was active and zealous. He was willing to work to gain the victory, Numbers 14, 6 to 9. Here again, he makes an impassioned plea that God is with them, that God will go before them and do the fighting. They just need to go up and take it. The 10, they wanted the reward without the labor, victory without the war, Numbers 14, 2 through 4. They say, no, this is impossible. It can't be done. Dare to be like Caleb. Trust in God and have a can-do attitude, knowing that God is bigger than any mountain. He's bigger than the giants. You know, in the time that we're living in now, when people are dealing with COVID-19, and we see the world around us given the fear and panic, as Christians, we know He's in control. We can be prudent. We can be cautious. We can be observant. We can be caring and loving about one another and put one another as our preference over ourselves. But we don't need to give in to fear, and we don't need to give in to panic, because our faith in God is much stronger than that. Caleb's faith in God was that he could do all things, and that through God he could do it. We need to have the can-do attitude in whatever task or obstacle lays before us. And second thing we want to note about Caleb is he was willing to take on the giants. He didn't ask for the easy task. Think about it again. Put yourselves in his shoes. We could have easily said, we've been wandering for 40 years. My feet are tired. I'm 85 years old. I just want to rest. I just want my inheritance. I just want the land that God has promised me. Let's just give me the easiest part to take. Give me the city with the nursing homes. Right? I can take those. No, that's not what Caleb said. He says, I'm 85 years old. God has seen fit to make my eyes not dim. My strength has not diminished. I'm just as capable now as I was then. And I want to take out the stumbling block before those other 10 spies that caused this whole calamity for the whole multitude to have to wander for 40 years. That's what Caleb is saying. The New American says, "Now then give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that the Anakim were there," that's the giants, "with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I'll drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So that's the inheritance he wants. He asked for the hill country. New King James says, "Give me this mountain where the Anakim," that's the giants, "dwell." I want to tell you just a little bit about this mountain. This is not just an easy hike. This picture is of what it looks like now. But this is Hebron. We know that from later on in the text. It's 3,040 feet above sea level. In fact, it was the highest town in Palestine. This was the highest point in Palestine. He's saying, you see that up there? Those fortified cities with those giants? Joshua, that's what I want as my inheritance. Formerly Kiriath Arba. And if you go to Joshua 14:15, Arba is defined as the greatest of the Anakim. So this town was named after the greatest of their giants. You can only imagine what that guy looked like, right? The whole town was named after him, Kiriath Arba. Hebron is named after Arba's son, Anak. Anak is the Anakim, that's the Hebrew name for the giants. Joshua 15, verse 13, lets us know that Hebron, the name that it is currently and at this time period known as, it was known as this giant's name, Arba's son, Anak. And so the town was named after these famous giants of Palestine, of Canaan. Arba and then Anak. Hebron was rich in biblical history back to the days of Abraham, Genesis 13 to 23. Joshua killed the Hebron king during the conquest, Joshua 10, 3 through 27. And it became a city of refuge, Joshua 20, verse 7, Joshua 21, 13 to 16. But as we talk about another giant slayer, it was said of David in 1 Samuel 18:7, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s." But David only slew a few giants. He's famously known for the battle between himself and Goliath when he was just a youth. And there's nothing to take away from the bravery that he had. But if you're going to take a body count of giants, David slew but a few giants. 2 Samuel 17, his battle with Goliath. 2 Samuel 21, 16 to 22, we find that Goliath was slain by David, and Goliath's four sons were felled by David and his men, including, I believe, some of David's sons. So David was a giant killer. He killed not only Goliath, but then he and his men, we don't know the division of it or how it was divided, but he killed Goliath's four sons as well. You can read that in 2 Samuel chapter 21. Caleb was of the tribe of Judah. David is his descendant, also from the tribe of Judah. I want to just tell you, Judah produced some giant slayers. Caleb was the progenitor of David, and Judah produced some pretty massive giant slayers. Starting here with Caleb, who says, "You see that mountain and its fortified cities made famous by some giants?" He says, "I'm taking it. That's what I'm taking." And then we see David, fearless, running to Goliath with nothing but a sling. But more than that, right? He said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord. God's going to give you to me this day." The same attitude that Caleb had. Caleb took on the fortified cities of the giants. In Joshua 14, and we're going to read 6 to 11. I referenced this earlier, but I want to read what Caleb says. In verse 6, "Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me, in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully.'" And he's not just saying that. Remember we read from Numbers chapter 14. God said that, "My servant Caleb has followed me with his whole heart, wholly." So he says, "I followed the Lord my God fully." So Moses swore on that day saying, "Surely the land on which your foot is trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years. from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I'm 85 years old today. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. So most likely he was about 40 years old when he was chosen to spy out the land. And this 45, it's 40 years in the wilderness, and there have been about 5 years of fighting. The conquest of Canaan takes a total of 7 years. So at the 5-year mark, it seems here at this point, Caleb's saying, I'm ready to take on my inheritance. He had waited 45 years to go mountain climbing and to take on the giants, to take on the very thing that made others feel like grasshoppers in their own sight. He wanted the hills that nestled fortified cities in which the giants lived, so he could drive them out with the help of the Lord. So what if they were giants? They were on his land, they were on his inheritance, and he would drive them out by the strength of God. As we see in Joshua 14:12, perhaps the Lord will be with me and I'll drive them out, as the Lord has spoken. He still saw things through the eyes of faith and not as they appeared outwardly. And that's the lesson for us. He saw things through the eyes of faith. He didn't see them for how big and scary they were. He saw them the way that God saw them. God said in this particular case, I'm giving you the land. I'll go before you. I will fight for you. And he showed that with Jericho when the walls came tumbling down. God showed them from the very outset, I'm with you as you go into this new land. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. If we walk by sight, we're going to be scared away by those fortified cities. If we walk by sight, we're going to be scared away by the giants in our way. We'll see them as obstacles that cannot be overcome. But if we see it through the eyes of faith, the way Caleb did, the way David did, they're nothing. God's bigger than that giant. God's bigger than those giants, plural. God's bigger than those fortified cities. The things that we deal with today, God's bigger than those obstacles that stand in the way of our faith, if we'll just put trust in Him. He was 85 years old, and he could have said, I'm ready to retire. Give me an easy place. Give me the easy land. But Caleb chose the difficult task. At 85 years old, he climbed the mountain. He killed the giants, Joshua 15:13-14, the very thing that was the stumbling block of the 10 that drove the multitude to sin against God, if you go back to Numbers 13-14. The very thing that drove the multitude to have to wander the wilderness for 40 years, Caleb says, let me at it. He's been waiting a long time for this. Dare to be like Caleb and have faith and trust in God to take on your giants and defeat them. And Caleb's reward, the mountain promised by God. The reward not apparent at first, but he had a carrying faith. He stood with the minority. He and Joshua stood against the majority in Numbers 13-14. The multitude was ready to stone him and Joshua in Numbers 14:10. He had to wander in the wilderness with the guilty. Numbers 14:28-35. And as I pointed out, as they saw their comrades die in the wilderness, they knew they had something to look forward to. Their companions did not. Their companions only had to look forward to death. So wherever Caleb's feet took him, it was moving him forward and closer to that land that God promised he would walk in. He saw the land. He carried back evidences of God's goodness. And he had to wait to enter the land and possess it. He had approval of God and his own conscience. He was favored by God. He was a man favored by God. Numbers 14:24 says, but my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. And Joshua 14:14 says, therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. What a commendation. What a commendation of this man's faith. That it never wavered. He never forgot what he saw. In fact, he's saying, I've been looking forward to this for 45 years. And I'm ready to take it. I'm ready to work for it. I'm ready to do it. He had approval of God and his own conscience. God says, my servant Caleb. And it says of him that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. The difference in him and the others during the 40 years.
And here's where we'll draw some applications.
The people wandered waiting to die. Today, in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 9, we read that those disobedient to God are wandering this life to their deaths. There is an eternal destruction that awaits for them, a separation from God, far away from His presence, an eternity away from His presence. The people that we see with us, if they're not obedient to the gospel, if they don't make Jesus number one in their lives and have their sins washed away in His blood, then the people that sit next to us on the bus, sit next to us at work or in school, they're like Caleb and Joshua's companions. They're wandering to die. Well, Joshua and Caleb wandered to live. We're in the same boat. People today are wandering this life waiting to die, a spiritual, eternal death. Caleb wandered to enter the promised land and live. Today, Romans 8:18 says, we wander with the guilty awaiting life. He says, there's nothing to compare with the suffering of this world with the glory that's to come. There's nothing that even compares to it. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4 tells us that we have an inheritance in heaven, a reservation for our souls. So we wander with the guilty, awaiting life. That's how Caleb and Joshua wandered the wilderness, waiting for that promised land. Caleb, his faithfulness was never forgotten. Joshua remembered, and the Holy Spirit recorded it for all time and all eternity, because Caleb had a climbing faith. He could not wait to climb that mountain and take the inheritance that was due. Today, God remembers and records the names of the faithful into the Lamb's Book of Life. In Revelation 20, 11 to 15, and Revelation 21, 25 to 27, God remembers and records the names of the faithful so that in that last day, we can be assured God knows who belongs to Him. No matter what we endure in this life, no matter what we have to go through, God knows who you are. He knows those that are wandering to their deaths, and He knows those who are wandering in this life to life, to that eternal life with Him. We can be assured of that, that God knows who we are. And so as we look at Caleb, he had a conquering faith and he gained the victory. In Joshua 14:12 and 14:15 and 15:14, he drove out the sons of Anak. He drove out the giants. In Joshua 14:14 and 15:13, he takes Hebron and its lands, the hill country, the mountain, become his inheritance, as we read. And Joshua 14:14 tells us Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb and therefore established what would become known as the land of Judah. And later on, the southern kingdom of Judah was in that land that Caleb took by racing up a mountain to kill some giants. In Joshua 21, 11 to 12, it says, thus they gave them Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, with its surrounding pasture lands. But the fields of the city and its villages they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his possession. He takes Hebron and its lands. He settles down to his reward. And we know from verses 8 to 10, and I encourage you to read that on your own, he shares that land with the Levites, just as God told the Levites that would happen. They were not going to inherit land, but they would inherit land within the land. The people would share their land with them. And we see Caleb being faithful even in that, in verses 8 to 10. He shares the land with the Levites. My encouragement is to dare to be like Caleb in overcoming adversity. Be faithful to the end and be rewarded. And know that as you go through this life, no matter how strong a faith you have, there are going to be people who stand next to you saying, it can't be done. There are going to be people telling you that it's impossible. They're going to be telling you that it's too big an obstacle. Don't see it that way. Their faith is either small or non-existent. Don't see it that way. When someone tells you it can't be done, when the work is before us that God has set, when we're told that we are to talk to our neighbors, that we're to teach the gospel to our family, to our loved ones, we're to go into all the world and make disciples of men, and there's people telling you it's too vast, it's too big. There's people that are big and scary out there and they're not going to listen. We can't do it. Don't listen to them. Next week we're going to talk about ways that we can teach the gospel, starting with our own circle of influence. So I encourage you to be back next week or tune in next week as we talk about teaching the good news and employing various techniques that all of us can use. When someone says it can't be done,
Have the faith of Caleb. God says it can. I believe it can. I will do it. We see in Caleb the spirit we are to possess, to overcome the trials of life. That's what James 1, 2 through 4 says. That's what Revelation 21, 7 says.
We're to overcome the trials of life. The reward may not be apparent. Remember, Caleb had to suffer with the wicked for 40 years. Numbers 14, 28 to 35.
We sometimes are going to suffer. The reward may not be apparent. But we have to keep looking forward to it, just as Caleb and Joshua did. Be faithful to the end. 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. Revelation 2, 10.
Don't give up. Paul never gave up. He says he kept the faith. He fought the fight. He finished the course. And he tells Timothy his life was about to be expended. He was already being poured out as a drink offering. His execution was at hand. But he didn't give up the faith. He didn't give up. Revelation 2:10, as Jesus talks to the church at Smyrna and talks about them, how they're deep in poverty. Not only were they suffering poverty, but they were suffering tribulation and persecution. Peril by sword. And he says it's going to get worse. Then he gives them the admonition, be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Caleb never gave up. He never lost his faith in God. We see that strongly in Joshua 14, 12 to 14, where it says he's been waiting 45 years to take the mountain on with its giants because he served God with his whole heart. Be faithful till the end and receive the reward from God. There are those today who want to just take the reward now. They don't want to put in the effort and work. So they'll say, well, I've put in X amount of years as a Christian. Now I'm going to sit back and relax and do nothing. Well, they have their reward in full, and it's this life. Receive the reward from God. James 1:12, Revelation 2:10, Matthew 25, 34, and verse 46, where Jesus says, enter into the joy of your master. He says, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He says to them, the righteous go into eternal life. Caleb overcame and he enjoyed the rewards of his God. Joshua 14, 14 and Joshua 15, 13, two passages we've already read. Dare to be like Caleb in realizing God is bigger than any giants we face. We live in a world that's oftentimes scary, opposed to God. It is alluring with all manner of temptations, all designed to draw us away from God, to either scare us into following after the world, that it's not worth it to follow God, that everyone else is against you, no one else believes in that. Try to tempt you away with all manner of things. We have to be like Caleb and Joshua. Keep our eyes on the prize. Keep our eyes on the goal that God has set before us. Fears, worry, anxiety, and panic are traits of the world. Give your panic, give your worry, give your anxiety to God. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, lay your cares or your burdens on God because He cares for you. We all have giants in our lives. They can look different for each of us. They can manifest themselves as fear, self-doubt, loneliness, temptation, jealousy. God can handle it. God's bigger than all of that. And there's times that each one of these things in our lives might seem an insurmountable obstacle. It can't be done. We can't get through it. We can't get over it. That's the 10 spies talking. You need to have the faith of Caleb. It can be done. We will overcome. We need the faith of Caleb to not let anything take us away from the reward God has promised. And remember, no matter how long that may take, what spirit do you possess? Caleb possessed a different spirit from the rest of the world. My encouragement for you this morning is you must possess another spirit from the world. Romans 12, 1 to 2, 1 Peter 1, 14 to 16. Whichever one you want to look at, we're not to be conformed to the world. We are to be holy because God is holy. We're not to look like everyone else. So what spirit do you possess? If the world were to look in on you, do they see someone that looks just like them or do they see someone that looks a little different? Someone that maybe they might want to ask, what's your secret? How can you face this with calm? How can you face this with peace? And open that door for opportunity to teach them the gospel. Dare to be like Caleb and stand out from the crowd. And the question is, will you overcome and be faithful till death? It says of Caleb in Numbers 14:24, he has a different spirit. God says, my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. What will be said of you when you stand before your God? Will he call you his servant? Will he hold you accountable and say of you in that final tally, you serve me with your whole heart. Well done, good and faithful servant. We're to have a different spirit. And may we have that spirit of Caleb. Give us the mountain. Give us the giants. If you're not a Christian this morning, I encourage you to become one. You are outside the family of God. You're outside His promises of peace. You're outside His promise of an eternal life at the end of this life with all its trouble and turmoil. You can repent of your sins. You can be baptized in His name for the forgiveness of those sins and rise from the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. And if you're here this morning as a Christian, not living the way that you should, now's the time to make it right. Now's the time to make confession, to repent of those sins that hold you back. And if we can assist you in any of these things, the waters of baptism or the prayers of the congregation with you and for you, come forward and let your request be made known while together we stand and while we sing.